Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm delighted to be able to gather together here for our third Thursday of the month, World Peace Diet Circle Zoom call. It's Thursday, February 20th, 2025. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we're in our microvan. We call her Mikey. And Madeline's right here also.
Hello.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi.
So this is our space. We live in a space that is 5 feet by 7 feet by 3 feet high. And couldn't be happier. Of course, we get out most of the time. We sleep here and do computer Zoom calls here and whatever else, lots of other things. And we're in Florida. We just spent the last few days in Naples, and now we're in Englewood. We just gave a lecture here at the Englewood Public Library this afternoon.
Wow.
Which was delightful. Our friend Ellen Livingston, who's about a 35-year raw vegan, we're staying in her driveway in Englewood, Florida. And it's great. You know, we had a big surprise, actually, this afternoon. We arrived at the Englewood Library parking lot, and we were just getting ready to go in and start getting set up for the event, which was in the library. And suddenly this fellow showed up, and he said, "Hi, Madeline." And then he turned around, and I recognized him as my college roommate from 1974, Doug Windsor. They live in New Hampshire, he and his wife and their children, but they have a winter house in Englewood, and she found it listed on Facebook, and she said, "Let's go and see." So I hadn't seen him for about 30 years.
Wow.
And it was great. He's not a vegan, but he came to the lecture, and we gave a good all the reasons to do it. So we'll see how that goes. But it was great to see him looking so happy and doing well. So that life has all kinds of unexpected magic, and it's good to celebrate the unexpected magic that happens all the time. Really, we see things all the time happening that are fantastic. So, welcome everyone. It's great to see you all here. And we'll go ahead and, I think, just get started. There's I'll just say a little bit of the news. We spent 7 weeks, actually left on Valentine's Day. We came a little bit before Christmas, and we spent 7 weeks at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, which really went well. We saw lots of cases of dramatic healings and recovery from the different types of disease and obesity and other problems, cancer and all kinds of things, through a really healthy, organic, raw, plant-based diet like we always do. We gave concerts every Sunday evening and lectures every Wednesday or Thursday evening or afternoon, and met lots of terrific people. We just had dinner a couple of weeks. I guess I mentioned it at the Mar-a-Lago on the 30th of January with Donald Trump. That was interesting. And we had some great gatherings with wonderful vegan activists and freedom people. A lot of great people, actually, in Florida that we've met over the years, and we're still in touch with them. And actually, tomorrow we head up to this beautiful area in North Florida near Daytona. We have some friends, Scott. I don't know, some of you may know Scott Bourgeois. You know Scott Bourgeois from Facebook? He and his wife, Kim, they're longtime vegans and really gung-ho health freedom advocates. Super committed, and they have a boat that they live on. They decided they can't live in any country, they're just going to live on the ocean. And of course, they started out doing that as health freedom people and thought they'll just eat fish. And now they've gone vegan, and so they're trying to figure out how to grow enough food on a boat to live on. It's not easy. But they're really wonderful people. So we're going to spend the night with them tomorrow night. I'm going to have dinner with them tomorrow. And then the next day, we're going to be speaking at a gathering called the Peace Festival. And we'll be spreading the vegan message. And Jim Gale will be speaking. Do you know Jim Gale? He's pretty famous. He started the Food Forest Freedom Movement in Florida, and there's thousands and thousands of people all over the state of Florida, all over the country, who use his organization to create their own food forest, organic food forest in their yard. He's most famous, and how we met him was through Del Bigtree's High Wire, and Del Bigtree had him on, and he planted, they went to Del Bigtree's house, I think, or also his office, and planted all these fruit trees and vegetables and all these things. He talked about getting self-sufficient for food. So he's going to be speaking tomorrow. I'll be speaking at noon, and he's speaking at 1. On Saturday, actually, here in North Florida. So there's lots of great things happening and we're seeing. And we just a few days before gave a talk here in Naples to a local gathering. And we love Naples. Naples has this fantastic store called Food and Thought, which is completely organic. It's all organic, and they've got lots of vegan options. So we have, it's really a center for the health freedom movement also. So we've been here for quite a few years. We come down and they have meetings and gatherings and talk about how to stop the vaccines and all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of jazzed about all these things that are happening. But let's go ahead and get started. We're in the driveway of Ellen Livingston's little house that she has here. And we're basically using the Wi-Fi from her house. And it seems to be pretty good, even though we're kind of out away from the house. But so hopefully we won't have any trouble technically as we go along. So if everyone's ready, let's go ahead and start our gathering with a meditation. We like to start with a meditation. So let's get comfortable wherever you are, and we can turn our attention within for a few minutes. As you know, we have our first Thursday gathering, which focuses primarily on a more meditative approach. But as we begin our meditation on this gathering, let's connect in with our breathing and feeling our connection with the infinite space of heaven above us, the sky, all that the sky represents, the creative power that is the source of our life, the source of all life. Feeling our crown chakra just open to the influx of white light, this beautiful white light just pouring down from the heart of the universe, the creative power of love, joy, freedom, awareness, abundance, harmony, unity. And this light, as it pours down through the top of our head and down through our forehead and eyes and ears and nose and mouth, through all of our sinuses and our whole brain and down into our neck, just washing away any limitations to the awareness and freedom and joy of our true nature. Washing down through our entire body, down through our arms and upper arms and shoulders, down through our lower arms and wrists and hands, and filling up our hands and fingers and flowing out through our fingers this beautiful white light, down through our upper back and upper chest and all of our internal organs and heart and lungs, and into our abdominal region, to our pelvic region, just again, just bringing joy and creativity and healing, freedom, abundance and awareness to every cell of our being, washing away any obstacles to the free flowing of the inner wisdom that is our true nature. And then washing all the way down through our upper legs, knees, lower legs, ankles, and streaming out through our feet, through our toes. So we just feel our whole body now as this stream of light, of awareness, wisdom, compassion, kindness, and respect for others. Awareness that one life shines through every expression. And feeling our connection with the earth, the soles of our feet, and the very essence of our being is rooted deeply in the earth. Beautiful golden light streaming up from the earth, filling our body with gold, golden light and white light, and this beautiful explosion of gold and white light within us, sending flecks of light all around us into the world. It's a blessing to all those in our family and friends, neighbors, our community. This radiating the light of kindness and compassion in all directions. This light that comes from heaven and earth, shining out through every cell in our skin, ever expanding spheres of light, abiding in the peace and harmony and brilliant awareness of our oneness with the source of our life. We see the whole earth and all living beings interconnected, an infinitely interconnected web of life. So breathing together, we take a moment to remember our aspiration, the yearning in our heart, the very core of our being. Take a moment to feel what it is that we like to see coming through us in this lifetime. Have a feeling for that. For every day that we have ahead of us, that we are fulfilling our mission and our ministry and our purpose through our thoughts and words and actions, through our intentions. We send our love and all deepest best wishes to all the animals on this earth, all the animals, the ones who are imprisoned in various places, in laboratories and farms and entertainment centers and so forth, and all the free living ones celebrating their lives in nature, sending our love and appreciation to all the birds, all the land animals, all the swimming beings, all the insects. Every living being has a purpose, is loved by the infinite love that is the source of all life. We give thanks for all expressions of life. We give thanks for the light at the heart of every atom, the life that is shining in every creature, the love that permeates all life in unity, seeing the source of all life through every manifestation. And now we take a moment and just feel the healing power of our true natures pouring through every cell in our physical body and through all the aspects of all of our affairs, bringing every dimension of our life into alignment with the abundant life and abundant awareness of joy and peace and freedom which we are here to bring to the world to help raise the vibration of human consciousness beyond fear and conflict to the joy of cooperation, creativity and co-creativity, the joy of music and art and dance, of nature, of growing food, of exploring the boundless vistas of the human consciousness and human mind, and the great adventure that we have every day as a potential. And finally, now we bring our consciousness back into our hearts. We send our love to the whole human family, to every expression of life, just breathing and radiating love and kindness to all living beings. Sending this love also to ourself, to this precious being that we are. Breathing and radiating love, abiding in our true home of love. And connecting now with the source within our being of compassion, the great wisdom that lives deep within us, that sees all beings with the eyes of compassion, yearning that they be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering, and acting continually to help relieve the suffering of others, doing our best to be a force for reducing suffering and generating joy and healing. So breathing and radiating compassion for all beings, abiding in our true home of compassion. And with every inhalation, now we engender the feeling of joy, the joy that is our true nature. And as we exhale, we radiate joy in all dimensions, the joy of being that needs no reasons at all. The joy of our true nature. Radiating that in every dimension, may all beings be filled with the joy of understanding our oneness with all life. And finally, we abide in our true home of peace. With every inhalation, just feeling peace washing over our mind and heart and over every function of our physical body, a piece of our true nature that is eternal, that was never born and will never die. And with every exhalation, radiating peace in all dimensions and all directions, seeing the whole earth bathed in peace, seeing all living beings at home in the peace of the eternal life that is their true nature. Abiding in love, compassion, joy, and peace. Abiding always in radiating loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. So let's give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have of a human birth, for this time to be together, for all the forces in our life that have brought us to the point we are at right now. Seeing that everything, even the most difficult challenges we've had, have helped to bring us to this moment, which is a moment of blessing. Time of opportunity and infinite potential. So we give thanks for each other, for all the teachings, for the inner teacher, and for the one life shining through all of us. And so it is. All right, everyone, thank you for joining us. We can now go ahead and move forward in move forward in our unity. We've got some nice messages. Susan said, I haven't heard about your Mar-a-Lago visits. Yeah, we can tell a little bit about that. Christina mentioned to me in a direct message that we were on the boat with Scott and Kim last year when we did the call. Oh, that's so interesting. Remember that? We were on the call with them. Mm-hmm. And Margie says, we see you at the Peace Fest Saturday. Great. Wow, that's fantastic. Good, Margie. Thank you. I'm glad you're going to be there in North Florida. All right, so this is it. Now it's your time. Does anyone have any questions or comments or concerns you'd like to have us focus on or address? I hope you had a chance to...
This is just a quick question. I'm going to be in Hi, good to see everybody. I'm going to be in St. Augustine, Florida for part of next week, and I just wondered if anyone is going to happen to be in that neck of the woods.
Next week, so you're coming in during the week. Well, on Sunday we'll be in Melbourne at the Unity Church.
I'm going to be there Wednesday. It's a quick trip, but I'll be there Wednesday. I'm leaving Wednesday, and I'll be there until Saturday.
Ah, well, we have to head over to Tampa for some events. But
yeah, that's the race. Yeah, that's
yeah. But Margie might be around, and trying to think, in St. Augustine, we have in Jacksonville, of course, she won't be around then, but in Jacksonville, which isn't too far.
Well, I'm flying into Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be speaking there about 2 weeks from now, though. Not right
now. Oh, really?
Yeah, in Jacksonville, there's a wonderful man there named John. What's his name?
Rapole.
John Rapole. He's a chiropractor. And his whole chiropractic healing practice is adjusting people's spines. But he says, I'm not going to work on you unless you change your diet. Go vegan. Because otherwise, it's just never going to work. So he's fantastic. Every year, he either at his practice, he has a pretty big room. But right across the street, he's got an even bigger auditorium that he rents out. So we'll be there. I think it's on March, in March, mid-March, basically.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, so that's all coming up. And if I think of anybody else in St. Augustine, I'll let you know. That's great. Yeah, thanks. Andy, we're thinking of you because we're going to be in San Diego in April, early April, April 6th. So maybe we'll see you then. And we still don't have anything set up, so we need to figure out where we can do a talk in San Diego, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I thought you were doing something with Unity on the 6th, and I had emailed you asking if you wanted to maybe try Peace Pies on the 5th, but yeah, I didn't know exactly. But are you doing Unity on the 6th?
Yeah. Yeah, Unity's on the 6th, but that's not vegan-oriented too much. I mean, that's mainly Sunday morning talk. It's a little bit, you know, vegan-oriented. I'll talk about it. I'm doing a workshop on developing intuition afterwards. But it'd be nice to do something really focusing on the World Peace Diet and Food for Freedom and the World Peace Way and vegan living that's more especially just for that.
So I don't know if you heard or not, the village where you've spoken before,
they closed. Yeah.
Okay, so you know about that. So Peace Pies, it's small, it's completely vegan, it's completely raw, it's not completely organic, but my guess is you'd be able to work something out there just like you did at the village, like if you let them know you wanted completely organic. I'm sure they would be flexible. This guy JP is the owner, and so the location I was thinking about was Encinitas. They also have an Ocean Beach location, and I can't say they're necessarily into freedom, but that being said, I would think if you gave a talk there, I would hope it would be okay if you were able to speak about the freedom also. I can check.
Okay. If you can check. We can talk about it later, but that might be fun. Yeah, it sounds like a possibility.
Can I bring up something else as long as I'm on? So I just found a fabulous new place to volunteer in an area called Lake Elsinore. And the main way that it's promoted is they rescue animals who have been in experiments. So it turns out they rescue also other animals, and there's farm animals and things like that. And one of the volunteers who lives near there, or she's a regular worker who started recently. I guess she is a volunteer because I just realized my question is going to be about the job she does when I asked her about her work. And I don't know if you would say anything to anybody if you heard this, but she works in the medical industry and something like she's helping design robots for the medical industry. And I was just, all I could think of was just evil, evil, evil. And would you say anything to someone and I didn't know if I should jokingly say, so you're going to put yourself out of a job once you create the robots, or, you know, I don't know. Do you say anything to someone when you think what they're doing is quite awful, or is there a nice way of saying something?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because it comes up quite a bit. You know, people, it seems like we'll do almost anything to survive financially or to get ahead and make money. And so many, I talk about that in the World Peace Diet, and I think also maybe in Food for Freedom. This basic underlying idea is do this job, and if you don't want to do it, we'll find somebody who will, right? That's the basic thing. Whether you're a high-paid doctor who's vaccinating people or whoever it is, you know, we'll pay you, and if you don't want to, then we'll find somebody who will do it. And that underlying idea, I think, pushes a lot of people to do things that maybe go against their ethics. And one of the things with veganism is that it's not merely, from my point of view anyway, it's not merely not buying certain products. It's also not supporting them, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to be a vegan but also working at a restaurant maybe where I'm actually, you know, facilitating serving beef or cheese or whatever. So our employment, it's called, in the Buddhist terms, it's called right livelihood. You know, right livelihood is traditionally in the Buddhist, it's like not selling alcohol, not dealing with anything with animals, and a few other things, not selling drugs, obviously, that are harmful. So that would pretty much wipe out the whole medical profession. That's right livelihood. But like in terms of AI and robotics and transhumanism, I think there's right now, everybody's just kind of doesn't know what to think. You know, people are thinking, well, maybe it's great. You know, maybe technology will save us after all, and AI will be able to endow us with capacities that, you know, we sure don't seem to be doing a very good job by ourselves. So maybe AI can help us to figure out how to solve all these problems. I think a lot of people feel that way. And I think that's a big mistake myself, because AI is basically programmed by people, who's going to be programming AI are those who have narratives that they want to make sure get forced on everybody else. And already what's this guy, Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, is already talking now about having, with AI, for AI, we need a gigantic database of every bit of data about every human being, because that's the only way AI will be effective, is if we have this gigantic database. He says that's the missing thing. We don't have that yet, but once we have that, then we can unleash AI, and AI will just create a great world for us. Once we just give me all your data, and then okay. So, I mean, it's such an obvious scam, but and I think the same thing obviously with robotics. I mean, what's this? So they're gonna get people to have all kinds of cancer. Then we've got this amazing robot that can go in there and just cut out the cancer so perfectly, or whatever it can do. You know, the technology will save us with robotics and these things. And instead of why don't you stop poisoning everybody? Then we wouldn't even have cancer in the first place.
Yeah.
So, in terms of your question, what to say to people, that's another thing. It depends on your relationship with them and how.
No, I had just met her, so it was probably inappropriate for me to. And I didn't say anything. I get that feeling in my gut as soon as I hear something like that, and it's like just keeping my mouth shut. So.
Well, but it's a good thing. You you're aware of it. You'll probably see her again. And it's hard, it's not really possible to change people, but we can plant seeds. That's one of the things we always talk about, planting seeds and just saying, gosh, I'm so glad that there's still people in the world that honor the inner wisdom of human beings, that we actually have the capacities within us, the inner wisdom within us to be healthy. We don't need to depend on technology. It's good to focus on a positive thing. Like I know this guy, Will Tuttle, he never goes to the medical. He never goes to the doctors. He doesn't need anything because he's really, takes care of his physical health. His wife, Madeline's the same way. There's lots of people like him. They don't rely on technology so much for their health. And there might be something for us to all learn about that. Just instead of criticizing, to say something positive but that's maybe different, that might plant a seed to help the person think about it. Because I think criticism and always back, boomerangs back, and then they don't like you. They don't want to hear anything. It creates this kind of tension between people and. Say, it's just nice to focus on something positive that might be an alternative. And
that's perfect because it's interesting. I talk about you a lot to a lot of people, but I guess I was so shocked to hear someone say something like first in the medical industry and then robotics. And it was like two things I'm so against. And I just sort of froze. So I didn't say anything at all, which was good. But what you just said, that's the perfect thing that I can say that I just didn't think about. So, no, thank you. That's perfect. That's exactly what I should say if it ever comes up again.
The whole idea really, I think, is to just think of something. It's not so much what we say, actually. It's more like how we say it, really. It's more important than what we say. Yeah. It's just, being friendly and planting a seed. And maybe, it might disturb them a little bit, but not to say it in order to disturb them. Like, it's more like to just say something that kind of disrupts that sense of that narrative that technology is all the only thing that's going to save us. If we only had more robots and less humans or something.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. What you said is perfect. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, so how about anything else? Anyone has any comments or questions? We can. I'm happy to address anything right now. It's just us here, and it's a really great opportunity, I feel, to share some of the things we're learning. One of the things I've noticed as over the last month, since the last time we had our third Thursday, it was the 20th, or right around the 20th of January, which is when Trump started his presidency. And it's really been a whirlwind, hasn't it? I mean, it's been quite a lot of things happening. And so there's been a lot of turmoil, I think, in the outer world. People are loving it. People are hating it. You know, it's just, it's kind of like, in Christian Science, there's a word, chemicalization. You know that word, chemicalization? It's a really good word, actually, to be aware of. The idea is if we have a disease and we're going to heal it spiritually, then we start pouring in truth through, we start reading and meditating and connecting with truth. So you don't heal disease with error, you heal it with truth. And so truth is the deep truth, that what I am is not a physical body. I am an expression of the infinite love that is the source of all life, and just to rest in that awareness. So what often happens when we pour in truth into a situation where there's some disease or some disharmony, is that Mary Baker Eddy, who's the founder of Christian Science, she coined the word chemicalization, like it starts fizzing and frothing, and you know, you pour more truth in, it gets really, you know, and the mind is going, wait a minute, that's not true. I mean, my life is terrible. I don't have any money, and this and that, and I'm sick, and you keep pouring in the truth, you know, keep pouring it in, and froth up some more, you know. And so I think, you know, that's not a bad thing. Very often it's a sign of some progress being made. It's the effects of contemplating a deeper truth. And it can be very disturbing, and people can get very upset, and all kinds of things can happen. But it's a necessary part of the process. And so that's what I've been feeling lately, is that there's a lot of chemicalization happening. Where there's a saying, we were just talking about it. We had dinner with Ellen DeGeneres and her friend Don Bennett. Some of you may have heard of Don Bennett. Ellen, what did I say? I can't believe I said that. Ellen Livingston. We were talking about Ellen DeGeneres, actually. but Ellen Livingston and Don Bennett, some of you may have known Don. No, he's a pretty well-known author, longtime vegan. They're both raw vegans. But anyway, we were talking, and they were saying that sunshine is the best disinfectant. And that basically is, sunshine is the best disinfectant. So just shining the light of communication and awareness into the dark corners that have been hidden for so long in our government, for example, like shining the light of where's all this money been going for USAID, for example, like millions, billions of dollars just going to things that were terrible, really terrible, terrible, destructive programs that were kind of taking away people's freedom and their self-responsibility, just pushing an agenda of big pharma and U.S. domination of these other countries and so forth. So really shining the light on all the all the money, and money really is energy, right? So all this energy is going into jobs that are creating a lot of harm, and to start cleaning that out, saying we're getting rid of 1,000 jobs here, we're getting rid of 1,000 jobs there, 10,000 jobs there, shrinking the government. It's like shrinking this gigantic tumor that's been growing and getting, reaching its tentacles everywhere, and everywhere it goes, it steals our freedom, it steals our health, it steals everything. And just cutting off all these tentacles, chopping them off, just blood spurting everywhere, people screaming like, oh no, how am I going to survive? You know, they're taking away all of this and that and the other, and then the media yelling and screaming about it and fighting and all this, and it just keeps going. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a period like this, 30 days. There's never been a 30 days like this in the history of the United States. I don't even, in a way, the world. I mean, with the kind of technology that's being unleashed, potentially. So I think it's quite something. You know, I don't think it's all good or bad, but it's definitely, to me, it seems like quite a cleansing operation and a chemicalization process. And who knows how it's all going to go, but I think underlying everything is the importance of the vegan message of liberation of animals, liberation of of the sacred individual expressions of life, human beings and all living beings, and letting that, you know, be the foundation. And so there's a, you know, there's a lot of confusion, I think, happening right now in people's minds about everything. And it's just, I think it's a great time, quite honestly, for us to be alive and to contribute what we can. The vegan movement itself, I think, is going through a lot of changes. A lot of people who are vegans are really on board, say, with the climate narrative. They're totally on board with the bird flu narrative, and the slaughter, I mean, the killing of millions of chickens and other birds. They're trying to kill all these ostriches up in Canada. I was reading about, they're telling this farmer has 400 ostriches. I mean, this is so terrible. And they have they give the PCR test, which we know is a complete hoax, and one ostrich tests positive on the PCR test for bird flu. And the government says, you have to kill all 400 of your ostriches. Like, you have to kill them. Like, how do you kill an ostrich? My God, these are magnificent birds. You got to, like, what? I mean, I can't even imagine. They don't want to do it. So the whole thing is, and paying all these farmers millions of dollars to slaughter all these birds because they test positive on a PCR test for bird flu. You got to be kidding me. I mean, but again, this is happening. It's like, it's the insanity of the germ theory and of Big Pharma's tentacles reaching out. And I'm so glad Kennedy's in. I hope he's going to. I mean, what he did say the other day, which I thought was fantastic, he said, we have got this terrible problem of chronic disease. When I was a kid, like when he was a kid, we're the same age. Back in the 1960s, it was 6% of people had chronic disease. Now it's like 68%. What happened? And he said, well, nothing's off the table. Maybe it's vaccines. Maybe it's glyphosate, Roundup, Paraquat, atrazine. Maybe it's EMF fields. Maybe it's all the junk food people are eating. We're going to look into it. We're going to find out. I mean, that's sunshine. Is the best disinfectant. You know, just look into what's causing all the mayhem, the disease, the violence, and the poisoning of the human population that's been going on, and the government has been aiding and abetting that, has been promoting it and allowing it. And he should look into the chemtrails thing too. He should look into all this stuff. And so, to me, it seems like, you know, the vegan movement should be right there. Supporting this is the greatest thing. We're getting rid of poisons. We're getting rid of lies. We're getting rid of this whole idea of dominating and exploiting animals. Getting rid of this ridiculous germ theory and these toxic vaccines that all they do is harm people and create chronic disease. So this has never happened before, this kind of light being shined. I mean, I just found out today, or yesterday, I guess we just found out actually at dinner that Kash Patel was just approved, and I'm like so happy because I live in California, and the senator from California is Adam Schiff, and so he is known. I shouldn't say this, but it's well known that he's a pedophile, and Kash Patel is going after this guy. And I think it's so great. I mean, we need to go after these pedophiles. There's so many pedophiles in the government and in the movie industry and in the media and everywhere. And these poor children are being so abused and harmed and abused, just like we do to baby animals. It's this horrible abuse. And Kash Patel and these people, they know about it. Kennedy knows about it. That's why they hate him. That's why they're so afraid of him. But I think, you know, we have the possibility to clean out, to have the sunshine go in and disinfect all this. But of course, we've got to get to the deeper level. We've got to stop abusing animals, because as long as we are pedophiles by the millions to poor little cows and pigs and chickens and sexually abuse them by the millions, we're going to do it to each other. I mean, that's what happens. So we've got to get to the deeper root. But at least we can recognize what's happening to humans and then make the connection. So I'm hoping that my book, Food for Freedom, and some of these other ideas will start getting more and more into the mainstream so we can get to the deeper level of healing this whole thing. We have to heal it with our relationship with animals, ultimately. And then we'll be at a high enough level spiritually and ethically that we won't be doing it to each other. But if we keep doing it to all these animals, we're going to do it to each other. And we'll see that playing out. And but it's so great. I have to say, I'm really happy to see some of the things that have been happening. I mean, I have to say, people maybe don't like it, but I'm really glad. I'm very glad to see Donald Trump say there are only two sexes, period. I think that is great. I mean, the whole vegan movement would scream, but I think it's true. This thing, because who benefits? Who benefits from this idea of multiple genders? Big pharma. Big pharma rakes in millions of dollars. These poor kids are confused. They spray atrazine on all the crops, and hormone disruptors, and the kids, and all these, all this dairy and everything that has all this estrogen in it. I mean, it really messes people up. And then they have these narratives going that, well, maybe you're really trapped in the wrong body, you really are a girl, you're really a boy, and then they start doing all this horrible mutilations and self-mutilation, and it's promoted. And if you look at the people who are behind this, the people like John Money, and if you really look at it, they were demonic, these people. They were sexual perverts of the worst sort that are behind all this. And this has taken over our culture. It was just spreading it through. And USAID was promoting it all over the world. The United States was the biggest purveyor of this gender dysphoria all over the world through USAID. Now it's stopped. You cut it off. And, I mean, to me, this is, like, incredible that it could happen so fast, that kind of thing could happen so fast. And I mean, it's like this huge liberation. So I think if we can do it that fast with humans, maybe we can do it that fast with the animals. You know, we can, like, all right, I'll now free the animals. That's the next thing. Let's do it. I mean, why not? You know, it's time to, we can't just, the idea of move, you know, we have to take the initiative and move on these things. I loved it. You know, when I went to Mar-a-Lago, we got, you know, because we have a good friend, you know, Phil Nikosisis, who's a member. And when he joined, I think it cost about $200,000. Now it's up to, I think, about $800,000 or something. But so you can have dinner there whenever you want. You know, it's a restaurant and a big house, nice place. And so he said, all right, we're going to take you and Madeline to dinner. I'll call the chef, the executive chef. He's a friend of mine. We'll make sure it's an organic vegan meal we have. And we said, great. So he picked us up. We went in. We had to get through this gauntlet of the Secret Service, all kinds of roadblocks and police cars and everything. And then we got in, but because we were his, you know, guest. And then we had to go through a metal detector. And then we got into Mar-a-Lago. There we were. We were in there. And the executive chef, we met him. And he said, yep, I've got your meal, organic vegan meal. And so I had a copy of the World Peace Diet with me. I was going to give it to Donald Trump, but Phil said, no, you can't give it. They don't allow you to give anything. You know, there might be some powder in the book or something, so you can't present anything to the president. But so I gave it to the executive chef, and he said, wow, I love this. This is great. My wife is a vegan, and she only eats organic. Yay. So we thought, all right, we'll spread the vegan message. Then we met another guy who's the founder of MCI, and we gave him the other book. I brought in the other book, The World Peace Way, so we gave that to him. So we spread the word as best we could there, and it was neat. We were eating, and about 6:30 we started, and then by 8 o'clock, by 7:30, Phil's, and where we were sitting, I could see the door of Trump's apartment where he lives. It's right there. Right off the dining hall, dining room area. It's a big patio, and it's a beautiful place. And Phil said, all right, he's probably going to come out. Because he had been, it was January 30th, and he had been inaugurated on the 20th, and he had spent all 9 days at the White House, and he'd just flown back that day to West Palm Beach. And once we drove to Mar-a-Lago, we went right by the big U.S., Air Force One, his airplane, you know, the presidential airplane was right there. And Phil said, yay, he's here. All right, good. And so sure enough, at 8 o'clock, the door opened and he walked out. And he just, and as soon as he walked out, everybody in the dining hall, about 200 people, all stood up, we all cheered, yay, everybody was clapping. And then he just walked really fast around the perimeter, and then he just walked in the main entrance, and there was a table there with his family, and quite a few people, probably 8 or 10 people were at this table behind a little velvet rope, kind of. And he just stood there, and he waved and thanked everybody, you know, and Madeline just went right over through the crowd, and she was like literally 2 feet away from him. And I was right next to her. So he was like right there. And you're not supposed to give him anything. You can't take any pictures. There's, you know, signs everywhere, no photos. But this guy next to me wanted to give him something, and he had some pamphlet about the fifth president of the United States. So Trump came over, and he gave it to the guy. He gave it to Trump, and Trump took it and said, all right, and sat down at his table. And so we basically sat there in the dining hall, and we saw him. He was just there like everybody else in the dining hall, just with hundreds of people walking around, and he was eating with his family, and it was just like he was one of us. It was very interesting. It was like totally like just one of us. And I was amazed, actually, how it seemed a little, to me, the security should have been tighter somehow. I was a little bit worried. I'm still a little worried that he's so like available. He's just right there, you know. I mean, people, all these people walking in, you know, just people from West Palm Beach, just like us, you know. Walking around with them just could walk right up to them, really. So hopefully they know what they're doing, and he's safe. But it was quite an experience just to feel that and be at the place there. But I think, you know, the overall feeling is that there's a lot of possibilities for positive changes to happen. And it's important for us, I guess, the people, to raise our consciousness to the level where peace and freedom and health and so forth are possible. And I think we are doing that. I mean, that's one of the reasons this is actually manifesting. We got rid of that demon. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I feel like they're demon crafts at this point. I just can't stand it. I mean, every single one of them voted against Robert F. Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and Castro. Every single Democrat, not one Democrat voted for these great people. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like, who are these people? I mean, what the heck's going on? So anyway, it's very interesting. I mean, these times we're living in, I think it's good to just keep meditating, try to really have clarity. It's very hard to know what's really going on. But to watch what's happening. But underlying everything is the importance of spiritual practice and promoting vegan living. I mean, no matter what, those are the most important things, because it's out of that we actually create the foundation for a positive future. If we don't have a vegan society, we're always going to be creating misery for animals and for ourselves. It boomerangs back. It always boomerangs back. So that's the most important thing. Keep spreading the vegan message, but within the context of freedom and not allowing ourselves to buy into these divisive, ridiculous ideas that are enslaving us, like climate change and multiple genders. And these are enslaving ideas, and robotics, AI, transhumanism, technology, like that's some kind of savior. We need to get back to spirituality and nature and love of animals and each other and our native intelligence, which is always present. And we've gotten so far from that. And to come back to that, really, I think is the main thing. So anyway, that's my one of my things I've been just kind of noticing, a few of the things that have been happening. But I'm sure Susan Daitry is happy that Robert F. Kennedy is in HHS, and he's already doing things. I mean, I think things are happening. So the thing that's great about Kennedy is he knows where all the bodies are buried, and he knows the corruption. He knows, and they know he knows. And the same thing with Kash Patel. Same thing with Tulsi Gabbard too. I think these people, they know. And Elon Musk, I think also, he seems to be uncovering a huge amount of stuff. So let the sun shine in. That's it. You know, just we gotta just open everything up. And I mean, we don't have any mainstream media. They're freaking out. So I'll see, gotta find alternative media. And that's why I have the resources. I have quite a bit of stuff on the resources. All right, so does anyone have any other comments, questions, or anything about what's been going on in the world over the last month or so? Happy, yes, Aradhana. Yeah.
I'm almost starting to just say, you know, I just love you. Again, because everybody stumbles over it. But
thanks for joining. Get a little closer to the microphone, if you can get closer to the microphone.
I have a question. And it's going to sound ridiculous when I pose it. But, I mean, look at the world. Maybe it's not so ridiculous. All these plane crashes. I don't know how it would be possible, but do you suspect that somehow it's leading us in the direction of trying to take our freedoms of travel? Could it be somehow intentional, even though they seem to have different scenarios and circumstances?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, you know, if you want to enslave cows and pigs and chickens, you just don't let them go anywhere, right? That's called slavery, imprisonment. That's a prison. And so the climate change is a prison. You're not allowed to drive or fly or go anywhere because it's your carbon footprint. And then they've already been talking. They've been saying it for 2 years. That in the future, in the not-too-distant future, they say, like at the World Economic Forum, that it'll only be the very wealthy who will ever fly. People will not fly anymore. That's not going to happen. But they say, don't worry, we have virtual reality. You can put on goggles and be anywhere in the world. You can go to Tahiti and just lay there. You have virtual reality. It's better than even going there. And it's better for the climate, you know. But I think also, yeah, having plane crashes, it makes people afraid to fly. Maybe that is, I thought of that actually, that this, it's part of the thing. I mean, it's hard to say for sure. You know, I think there's definitely an agenda to try to, the 15-minute cities and what happened in Los Angeles. I mean, those fires are so suspicious. I mean, the way they actually burned the wood, the metal and not the wood, and the way the trees were not burned, but the houses were completely wiped out. I mean, it looks very much like directed energy weapons of some kind that just burned a whole area. And then Gavin Newsom immediately jumped right in. We're going to rebuild it better, you know, build back better, and just in time for the Olympics. And so it'll be the kind of housing that will be monitored. Everything is monitored. You know, back in the 1800s, they had these ideas of creating prisons where one or two guards could see 1,000 people. You know, and now we have the technology for that. You have one or two people that can basically monitor the entire population of a city, and they know where you are and what you're doing at every moment, and if you do anything wrong, then you're not allowed to spend your money and so forth. So I think there's that's the agenda. My feeling, you know, is that that's what the Republican people, the Democrat, the like Trump and so forth are working against. I mean, one of the first things Trump did was get the U.S. out of the World Health Organization. That, to me, that's really fantastic if it really sticks. I mean, in a year, and also to say there will never be any CBDCs, you know, central bank digital currency, which is the primary way of enslaving humanity, would be to have a central bank digital currency where every single transaction is tracked. And you can never use cash, and then if you do something that they don't like, they just cut off your ability to send money, or you can't go anywhere. You're only allowed to spend money within a 25-mile radius or a 5-mile radius or whatever it is, or wherever you're allowed to be. I mean, all these technologies are relatively easy for them to put into place now. We have the technology to enslave humanity now. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. They have these, they built these 5G antennas everywhere. And so it's just a matter of somehow massaging the population into compliance, being docile, being willing to go along with it, scaring them enough that they'll be willing to go along with it. And to me, it seems that, I don't know ultimately if Trump and Musk and all these people are good or bad people, but it seems to me that they are at least buying us some time, allowing us to speak. Like they're saying, we want to let you speak, and we don't want to have a central bank digital currency. So it's important for us now that we have more time, because under Biden, under the Democrats, we couldn't even talk. I couldn't write anything on Facebook or they'd take it down. It was ridiculous. Taking away our freedom of expression is the terrible thing. So it's giving us the opportunity to speak again. And so we need to use that, I think, as best we can to do what you're doing, you know, to raise these questions. Like, why are we having these plane crashes? I mean, what's behind all that? And, you know, maybe part of it is just human error and so forth. But it seems weird, these coincidences that happen, especially when there's no accountability at all and the media covers everything up. So we'll see. You know, it's good to be aware of that. And I'm wondering, have you all noticed there's less chemtrails since Trump came in? Has anyone noticed that? I'm not sure. We noticed it after they cut down the USAID, where we were in West Palm Beach. For the first time, there were no chemtrails for about 2 weeks. And there were always chemtrails. Every day there was chemtrails, and now there was no chemtrails anymore. But then other people have said, no, there are chemtrails where we are. So I'm thinking that that's something also. I mean, they're talking about really shining light on 9/11, on Jeffrey Epstein, on chemtrails, on all these things. Specifically, I mean, Trump and Musk are specifically talking about this, and also Kennedy, to really investigate these things, the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK, and you know, all these things that have always been covered up, UFO phenomena, all these things. So I just love it. I just love the idea that we should start really finding out, because we've been lied to so much about everything. I think we've been lied to about everything. And so maybe we'll start to get some truth, because without truth, we don't have a chance. So that's all I can say about that, April. You know, I don't know, but it makes sense that it could be part of an agenda. It was a very strange thing, you know, that one in Washington was really weird, and the other ones also. Any other questions or thoughts or anything else? Or unless you have something more on that, April. But happy to address. We're missing a few people. I know Judy Carmen couldn't make it, and Lisa, they have things going on. But
okay, I thought of something else, and I don't know if it's appropriate here or not. But so I suck at investing, and in the very beginning in 2020, well, in 2019 was when I got a little bit of money to invest, and now it's getting closer to being gone. And I'm thinking, if I was investing properly, I should have more money, not less money, but clearly I've got less money, so I'm just spending it. And like I completely blew $10,000 because I had invested in Beyond Meat. That was before 2020. I didn't know the evil of Bill Gates. And I thought, oh my God, everything's going vegan. I want to invest in a vegan company. So I lost everything that I put into that. And, you know, I just can't figure out the whole investing thing. I can do CDs, but, you know, I don't know if there's like, you know, and then I listen to like Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you're familiar with him, and he says, you know, good mutual funds. And I'm just wondering, I don't really understand that, but my guess is the things that we invest in that would make the most money are likely pharmaceutical companies, right? I mean, so I don't know. And I think I remembered, oh God, what's his name? The guy from Agape Church. I know you'll know him well.
Michael Beckwith?
Yes. So I think, because I had one of his, like, DVDs or something, and at some point, he was looking at the positive also, and he said something like, so maybe your investments will go down. Let's say your investments go down, but maybe it's something like they're no longer supporting, like, you know, bad companies. So maybe the investments going down are meaning it's not supporting bad companies. So is there a way of investing to make money so that we can have more money to stand up for animals? Is there like mutual funds or something that you like? And I cannot understand at all the crypto. I paid someone quite a bit of money and I'm like, if I don't stop paying to try to learn this, I'm going to go through all my money just trying to learn it. So do you have recommendations of what to do with money that where we can put it not only to make money so we've got more, but where it goes to good companies or people that, you know, so we can make more money.
Right. Yeah, that's always, you know, we have been going to vegan conferences for many decades, you know, for over 40 years. And very often there would be one or two booths of vegan investing opportunities, vegan investing companies or vegan investing cooperatives. And they're still around. And there's some new ones. I have a good friend, Saurabh Dalal, who is involved with a vegan investment firm. You give them some money and they invested in vegan friendly companies or companies that are creating leather out of mushrooms or, you know, these different kinds of things. And I hesitate to say it's good or bad. I really don't know. It's a little bit of a form of gambling in the sense that you're sort of betting that this is going to do well. But, you know, when you try to figure it out, you know, people look at their financial statements and how the capitalization, all these things, and they think, yeah, I'm going to bet on this company. It's like betting on a horse, you know, or something. Yeah. And if that horse wins, I make a lot of money. So I did some investing when I was young, like in my 20s, and I just decided, the heck with this. I'm out. I don't like it. I tried, and it was I didn't like it. So I'm not really a good person to ask about that. I mostly Madeline and I have money in a credit union, like a money market fund. It pays interest, you know. I don't know if it pays enough, if it covers the, you know, inflation is so high right now. It's, especially after Biden, even if you get high interest, it maybe barely keeps up with the inflation rate. But, one thing that's maybe people talk a lot about is precious, you know, is gold and silver. Silver is something that it's only going to gain value as time goes on, especially if the dollar gets weaker. So a lot of people suggest having some money in physical gold or silver, and you can get physical gold, silver. I think you can also have certificates of that where it's held for you somewhere. To me, that's a little more real, because for me, crypto, the problem with crypto is it's just so abstract numbers. And to me, it's not that safe if certain powers decide they can take it over. I may be wrong. Maybe it's fine. Our friend Phil, you know, he's really into crypto, and he makes millions and loses millions. Like, I don't know what. It's like all the time. I don't know enough about it to say anything. Jersey has something here. Chrissy lost a lot of money in Bitcoin because it was actually stolen out of her Bitcoin wallet. So you can lose money that way. I think there's the things that really have value are precious metals like gold and silver, real estate, right? If you have enough.
Yeah, I don't, sadly. Yeah.
Or something. Or like a money market fund at a credit union, right? A credit union. I like
that's
credit
what
union.
I have right now is yeah. either money market or CDs. Mm-hmm. And but I just, you know, I don't. Are you familiar with Dave Ramsey?
No, I'm not. I don't think so.
I mean, yeah. he's not a vegan, but he's this financial expert. He has a call-in show, and he always talks about like good mutual funds and. Yeah. You know, so, but he's like a down-to-earth kind of person, a conservative, and I was really excited to see. I followed him for years, even though I was a Democrat, he was a Republican, and but it was really cool to see. I happened to start watch him again because I think it was around 2021, and it's a call-in show, and someone was calling in saying they were leaving their job. Because and they were concerned about getting another one or something like that because they didn't want to get the shot. So I liked that Dave Ramsey said, you know, so that's fine, leave the job. He said, and they've got like over 1,000 employees. He says, we don't require anyone to do that here. And I'm sure.
Yeah, he's a Tennessee guy. He's local around near me.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Kind of a well-known figure around here. He created a lot of waves because, I mean, I have mixed feelings about him, but he was great during the scamdemic. And I remember there was a big, you know, a big like flurry because he still held a Christmas party, you know, during the height of the line. You know, he was a super spreader and he's still. And in fact, very interestingly, I was involved like in my legal work. I happened to be involved in one of his. This was pure coincidence, but he had a case involving a contract for an event he held in Florida where they wanted people to mask and you know physically distance, and you know he said no, that's not what we signed up for. And so yeah, he was great on the freedom front. And actually my old boyfriend who Will knows you know, pretty well, Elijah, he got out of debt through Dave Ramsey's program. So, yeah, but I've also heard lots of negative stories about Dave. You know, I think he's your typical conservative kind of big personality guy. But, yeah.
So what do you think of the investments then, the mutual funds thing or?
I don't have strong opinions on it. I mean, like I mentioned in the post, last year, I kind of was brought to my knees financially because I am a big believer in Bitcoin. And then just I had a crazy incident. I mean, the long and short of it is that I strongly suspect that it was a company that recruited me for a legal project that my first week on the project, they remote accessed my computer to help with the tech issue. And then the following week, there was an unauthorized transfer from my Coinbase account. Coinbase is kind of like a crypto bank account. And the whole point of crypto is that you don't need to hold it in a third party, you know, equivalent of a bank account. So I've been meaning and planning to get out of Coinbase and move into what they call self-custody. But I thought I had some time. I thought it was, you know, secure. But then, you know, that week, you know, they stole 1.28 Bitcoin, which is worth, you know, into the six figures. And there was an investigation happening for a little while. The Secret Service was involved. It's very interesting. I mean, I don't want to compare my plight to what happens to animals by any stretch, but like this whole experience definitely brought me home to like what it's like to be treated as invisible, because all the parties involved, this legal case that I was working on, this was with a top-tier law firm, like impeccable reputation, you know, plus several other tech companies and a tech support company they were the ones that actually remote accessed my computer. But I let everybody know about this, you know, without hurling about accusations. But, for instance, with this law firm, I wrote to them and I said, you know, just at the very least, I'm presuming that you still work with these companies. And so I would just, you know, guess that you would, you would, I just think you'd want to be aware of this, you know, just in case this might happen. No response. They didn't even write back to me. I left voicemails. I left just everybody just dead silence, dead silence.
Oh, and my God.
Like not even a token response. I shouldn't have been. I was flabbergasted, and you know, and it's worked like a charm. There's really, like, now even the Secret Service agent who was investigating, he was on leave for a while, and now even he won't get back to me, so even he's treating me like I'm invisible.
Oh,
but it's
God.
Just amazing, because you know, I guess what did they have to gain by engaging me, because I don't have any particular power or pull other than just by talking to people, which is what I've been doing.
Oh my!
Yeah. I mean, they have nothing to gain by talking to me, so they just completely. And these were people that I worked with, you know, that I had like a cordial, I thought, mutual respect.
You mean again, in person or online?
Online. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was like a month-long project. I was recruited to, you know, in the legal work that I do. It was an unusual project. I was recruited kind of out of nowhere. There were some interesting parameters. I was told I could only work 3 hours a day. They told me that after I had agreed to the project. There are a few strange things about it, but yeah. But yeah, Liz, I posted the link to the podcast episode. If you're, I kind of do just a succinct rundown of exactly what happened. So it's an interesting story, if nothing else. But
where can I find this?
I put it in the chat, but it's on my podcast, Vegan Posse. I did a link, you know, I did a podcast called Who Stole My Bitcoin?
Posse? Okay, but the podcast is called Vegan Posse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you so much for letting
me
know.
Oh, yeah, thanks for listening.
Sorry.
You know? Yeah,
that's frightening.
Susan, you have your hand. Thank you so much, Chrissy. I know that's really... what you're saying about just being invisible and being ignored when you're this all happened, and they should definitely, they have some responsibility for that, but they don't want to. They're lawyers. They know they don't want, they don't have to. So, I know. Yeah. Yeah. So be careful. I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as you start investing, just be aware. There's lots of people that are trying to take it away. So. Just be careful. That's the main thing I've noticed over the years. You just have to be careful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Susan, sorry. You have something?
Well, I only thing is that, you know, Hawaii is a very blue state, unfortunately. We have a Democratic governor who's really bad. You know, he went to Washington to D.C. to badmouth Bobby. He thinks because he's an M.D. he's got something to say. But the thing is, right now they've got a bill going to take away people's religious
exemptions.
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, when I lived in New York, I don't think there was a religious exemption allowed there, because I had a girlfriend who tried that and she couldn't get it, and she just managed to get in on a medical exemption. But I was wondering what other states have. Yeah, I mean, I have to try to give testimony, submit some testimony by tomorrow about that. But
well, there's three states that do not allow religious exemptions: California, New York, and Connecticut. And also West Virginia, but West Virginia just overturned that and changed their law a couple of months ago. So there was four, now there's three. And it would be too bad. I mean, it would be good to get down to zero, but yeah, it would be too bad if Hawaii then, because the momentum, I think, is shifting back toward allowing religious exemptions. So I'm surprised that Hawaii is trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you should definitely fight it, because that's important. I mean, that's really terrible if you don't have, that's completely intolerable. I mean, you have to have an exemption for something that's so dangerous, that's so harmful. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No way to your own body.
Right.
And your own belief.
Your body, your choice. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the information, Matt.
Right. Aradhana, you have your hand?
Back, I invested $5,000 in that. Sailesh Rao was promoting it. And I've been meaning to talk to him to see what happened. I lost my contact of the guys who I gave the money to. Does anybody know anything?
Did you say you heard about it from Sailesh Rao? And then it was a cryptocurrency.
Oh, vegan coin.
Vegan coin. I never heard of it. Wow.
Goodness.
Huh.
It was going around openly discussed at his vegan 2020, his first vegan 2026 gathering in Phoenix.
That was back before COVID, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, way back. Yeah. That would be interesting. I wonder. I mean, if you know, they say it, just hold it. It'll be worth a lot someday. I don't know. Maybe you're a millionaire. You know, I don't know. But maybe Stylish could tell you. Yeah. I mean, he should know.
I need to reach out, but I don't have very high expectations, but
right.
Maybe it's just still there somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of these cryptocurrencies just, they just disappeared. They stopped. So I'm not sure. It might not be worth anything. It's hard to say. You know, I don't know. Some of them are.
The idea gone. Was that all the vegans in the world were going to have our own economy and be supporting one another.
I think I remember that. Yeah. It was something. There was some people from Israel were behind it. Yeah, I remember that actually vaguely. Yeah, I'm not sure where that went. I don't know. You actually gave them money. Wow. I would check with the only one I can remember is I can't remember any of the names, but I think there was two guys from Israel and Silesh, and there was somebody else from South Africa maybe. Yeah, I remember that actually now that you're mentioning it. But I never got involved with it too much.
Okay. Well, Andy, I think it's a great question, and I'll talk with you a little bit more later.
Yeah. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. Anne, you have your hand up?
Yes, I do. Hi.
Hi.
Just a couple of things on the financial subject. One is that in relation to crypto, it's got to be self-custody. Otherwise, it's very vulnerable. And then also that Monero would be a safer thing to invest in than Bitcoin, just because from the privacy aspect.
Monero. Uh-huh.
And then I think it's a really good time to get out of dollars, to get out of the it's basically – you know, our currency, it's debt receipts. There's nothing, there's no basis to it. And so I would say it's a good time to find alternative ways to invest your money, like Will said, with real estate and precious metals. And there is a private membership association called Liberty Dollar Financial. And it's run by, I believe his name is Ron. Is it Gibson? I might have the last name wrong. He and his wife run it. But basically what you're doing is investing in silver. And if you can trade then with other members by trading your silver receipts. So in a way, if we are ever if cash is taken away, which would be devastating, actually. But I think that's where we might be headed, it's good to have another form of trading with people so that you're not you know, completely reliant on a government issued surveillance sort of, you know, digital currency.
Right, right.
And so I can put the, I can put that website in the chat. It's kind of a big subject, but it's very cool that the people who are part of this association who have invested in silver together can trade between each other.
Yeah, it's called Liberty Dollar Financial, right?
Liberty Dollar Financial, yes.
Yeah, it says right here, Liberty Dollar Financial Association is a private membership association that offers a metals-backed currency as an alternative to traditional fiat money. So, it's yeah, that might be good. And the other thing, too, that goes along with that, Catherine Austin Fitz, basically this encourages everyone to have silver, you know, like small, like you can go to any coin shop and just buy dimes and quarters and half dollars and dollars, you know, small silver. And you can, you know, if the dollar isn't really going, you can use that, right? I mean, it's you know how much it's worth. And it can be used, and it's something that's always going to be good. And you can buy with each other, or even, you know, because of what people keep talking about, not, you know, not to be an alarmist, but is some kind of a collapse of the internet, right? If something like that happened, then there would be, you know, you couldn't use your credit cards, you couldn't use the typical ways of buying things. So something like having small amounts of silver is a great way, because, you know, a silver dime is worth, you know, $4 or $5, whatever it is, I can't remember, but, you know, you can look it up. She's got on her website a list, you know, it changes every day how much, you know, these are worth in terms of dollars. And you can start using that. Like we have even like where we live in Lake County, we have our local currency that's used a little bit at the farmers market. And the more we can get local currencies, that's the best thing. And if we do start seeing the government either something trying to tyrannize us and not allow us to have cash, or if there's a collapse, then there's going to be a lot of incentive to create local currencies. But precious metals are always good to have. That's what I would say. I mean, just while you can, it's good to get some. And smaller currencies are small. You know, it's handy. I mean, it's more convenient, I would think. And then also besides that, invest in long range food storage, like seeds for sprouting. And grains that you can eat. I mean, really having food and things that, you know, that are valuable for survival. It's probably not a bad idea, actually. And now we're actually just about out of time here. I did want to mention the. There's a lot here on our resources, so. Let's have a look at some of those, the wildfires in California, all of these. There's so many things. I mean, it's just amazing that what's been happening this first month. And Dr. David Martin speaking in the parliament, he really told about the whole foundation, how the WHO was created and what a criminal organization it actually is. I mean, there's a whole lot of really interesting things here. So, I know it's a lot to take in, but we look forward to staying in touch. We'll be check out our tour schedule. We're heading across in the next month. We'll be mainly in Florida and South Carolina, and then heading across Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, and Southern California the following month. So keep up the great work, everyone, and I appreciate all your efforts to bring the vegan message to people in your daily lives. I think it's time for us to say our prayer for the animals, and we hold everybody who wasn't able to make it here, and there's quite a few people who will be listening to the recording as well. Our good friends up in Canada, of course, are always joining us. And here comes my wonderful spouse, Madeline, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, in our little a little house here. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's unmute our microphones and say together our prayer for the animals. Together? Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Yes, again. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. And one more time with gusto. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Yes.
Bless you all. Thanks again. We love
Thank
you.
You I love you all.
Hope to multiply.
All right. Thank you so much,
Thank
Will.
You.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.